now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Mitch Graham McMorrow. And today on the show, the Brixtow Project.
Yeah, Polly is back again with more information and updates.
And hot dates from the past.
Sounds fun, doesn't it? All coming today right here on Shout Out. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Andy.
Hello, Tara.
Hello.
Hello, Tara.
Hello.
The traffic really is that bad out there, isn't
Tara,
it?
Tara, the skin of her teeth.
It's getting a bit of a habit. Yeah, I don't like it at all, I'll be honest.
It's that kind of like whizzing last minute and straight on air, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, but we'll get there.
So I'm sure the listeners appreciate it.
I even left 20 minutes early today. That's what annoys me the most.
I was on the train in Filton and it was half an hour late, the train.
Really?
And I could have cycled home in that
time. And it's got no excuse for the traffic, has it?
No. Well, apparently there was traffic, but anyway, travel dilemmas.
Yeah.
It's the Bristol.
I know, yeah, and it's coming to that time of year, isn't it? Because it's like, you know, there's more rain and the like. So it does feel like summer's gone.
It does.
It does. We have succumbed. And put the heating on.
Yes, we've had it on a few times.
No,
I'm
so clear. I am Scottish, so that makes sense.
I know, we only do it at weekends, so,
No, it really, it kind of is, isn't it? So, but then there's lots to look forward to, because it's like Halloween soon. Believe it or not, it's just over a month away.
My kids are really looking forward to that one already.
And it's definitely getting bigger in this country, isn't it? There was a time when Halloween was quite a small thing. Well, probably not for you, because you're more pagan, aren't you?
Yeah, more pagan-y. So, yeah, we tend to celebrate the Samhain, and
still
I think
dance around a fire?
Oh, well, that's a standard. Yeah, that's a standard. You don't have to ask. You're burning what you don't want in the year, and then you're asking for new things to come into your life.
Oh, is that what it's about?
That's kind of like this. Samhain,
Out
with the old.
Is that actually Halloween? In the same day?
Yeah, it's a New Year's. It's at the time of the seasonal kind of new year.
It's All Hallows Eve, isn't
All Hallows Eve, yes. It's the veil is thinnest, so we can communicate with our ancestors easier as well.
Yeah,
that's why the Mexicans have Mexican Day of the Dead.
La Dia de Muerta.
Day of the Dead.
But it's a big celebration.
It's massive.
It's not a down and creepy thing, is it? It's a huge, great celebration.
No. We just don't deal with dead or death. Really.
No, we're not very good at
it. No, we're very bad at it.
Well, I think that the belief of this afterlife is kind of another whole other debate, isn't it, really, for people. And I think a lot of people who appreciate death appreciate it's just a new level of existence. And it isn't, I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, I kind of like the thought of an afterlife, but
It would be nice to think that it all recycles like everything else in life, because on the earth everything kind of goes round in circles. So
The seasons, there's death and rebirth, isn't there?
It's a real kind of personal thing, isn't it? What you believe, it's
and it fluctuates.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mine doesn't, but personally,
mine does.
Oh, you fickle!
Fickle. I know. Overthinker over here.
But it's interesting. So
that's one of the celebrations. And then, of course, there's...
You can't say that word yet. No, my other half will kill me if you say
I was going to say fireworks night.
Oh, yes.
Guy Fawkes night.
Which is...
celebrating the attempt to blow up the Houses of Parliament. But it failed. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, well, that's what we celebrate, though, isn't it? The fact that it failed.
I don't know.
Well, at least that was always my belief. I don't think it might have been quite, not
necessarily with people in it. I wouldn't advocate that, but clean sweep, start again, please.
Well, there's been a few times they've done that in history, anyway. Not by blowing it up.
But the king hasn't. The king is. a king called for a whole dissolvement of parliament.
Yeah. I mean, they're really worried at the moment because Big Ben doesn't ring anymore. It's
only temporary,
ringing.
Though, isn't it?
Yeah, while they're servicing. It's 2 years, isn't it? It's not.
Is that temporary?
Well, yeah. That's quite a long time, isn't it?
How long does it take to service a bell? It's 2 years, obviously. Yeah. That's a silly question, really.
Yeah. What was that? I mean, the
all those campanologists will be phoning in, telling us how long it takes.
It's one of those London
to tune the bell of Big Ben.
No, I think they're actually doing a lot more than that, though. They're doing all the clock faces and all the mechanism and everything, aren't they? So
it's crazy money in the House of Parliament. Mm. I mean, is it £3 billion to refurbish the House of Parliament over 15 years?
Yeah. But then it's such a big icon.
Is that our money? Is that our money?
That's our money.
But that's one of those classic London facts, isn't it? Because everyone thinks that the clock is Big Ben, and it's not.
It's the bell.
It's the bell. Mm. And the clock is called, I think it's something like, is it the Queen Elizabeth Bell or something? Queen Elizabeth Tower or something?
Yep.
Something like that. Anyway, but yeah, the bell is what has the name.
Not the Tower of London.
And it's the main bell as
well. That's
something
even different.
Big Ben's the main bell, and then there's four others.
No, the Tower of London's completely separate. That's where all the jewels are stored, is it not?
Yes, the crown jewels.
Yeah. Mm. And where they used to lock people up who were naughty.
Even did dungeons.
Yeah. Yeah. That art installation with the poppies was absolutely spectacular.
Oh, yes.
A few years back.
Yes.
Not see that?
Nope.
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah, they did the river of poppies all the way around, didn't they? Yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
Mm. So. One for every person that died.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Anyway, hopefully on a slightly lighter note, let's find out what other events are going
really
on.
Really sad.
So, Tara.
Hello.
What events have we got this week?
So the first one is Grayson Perry. So he's coming to Bristol next week.
Oh.
There's the most popular art exhibition ever at the Arnolfini. They're declaring it as.
Mm.
So it's had a real. I think it's going to be really good, to be honest. So that's a trans artist out there pushing the boundaries, really. You know.
Yeah, cool. So, it's nice that they're doing up all the kind of like cobbles around that area as well. It's been quite up higgledy piggledy for years, and they're sorting it out as part of all the bridge stuff. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lovely part. I mean, in the summer you just sit out there and it's lovely.
Oh, they all sit there with their legs hanging over.
Yeah, I know. They? I feel a bit sick when I see that. I slightly worry that somebody will topple in after one too many beer. So anyway, apparently...
Don't drink and hang.
No. They reckon it's the biggest one since Banksy did his in 2009. So.
Oh, marvellous. I wish Banksy would do another one.
So, you know, it's going to have his usual... quirky art with his charismatic attitude, social commentation with his portrait, you know, his portraits and his. He does sculptures and all the rest of it. They've always got a social meaning to them, haven't they?
Right.
You know, whether it's challenging about gender or whatever else. So I think that's, I'm really looking forward to this one, actually.
Yeah.
You know?
I like Grayson Perry.
Yeah, it says Perry's nothing but versatile, working with an impressive range of media such as cast iron, bronze, tapestry, printmaking and ceramics. The exhibition will represent more than 25 of Perry's most recent works, including Matching Pair, which he collates through images, ideas and phrases curated through the social media. A crowdsourced piece he used to cover two massive pots, one for the Remainers and one for the Brexiteers. Mm. I wonder which one will get broken.
Mm-hmm.
And which formed the basis for Channel 4's documentary. So it starts on a Wednesday 27th of September and that runs through right to the 24th of December, so there's plenty of time to go and see it. I reckon I'll go down a few times.
Christmas Eve. There you go. I said the C word.
Yeah, and it opens at 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and it's free to go as well, so you don't have to pay. But you know, donations are welcome. The Arnolfini doesn't, struggles at times. I think. I mean, this is a pretty good event, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the next one is, and it's, you might have to tell me here, is Let's Have a Kiki. Members of the BME and LGBT plus community have come to create a QTI POC.
Cutie pop.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cutie pop.
See, I'm showing my ignorance. Friendly space, the definition of kiki. A kiki, alternative kicking or ki, is a term which grew out of black and Latino gay social culture, loosely defined as an expression of laughter or onomatopoeia for laughing.
Onomatopoeia.
Yeah, so it sounds how it
how it senses. So it, yeah. Like if you say boom or pop Kiki. Or squelch, you know, it's that kind of that poetic kind yeah. of language that it creates. It's about creating a buzz, yeah. really, yeah. and having a like a conversation.
It doesn't take much with you to create a buzz.
Oh, thanks. Little, creating a little buzz, you know.
So it's about gathering with friends for the purpose of gossiping and chit-chatting. Yeah, so and the launch is today.
Tonight,
on yeah. the 21st of September, a gathering of Quidpock?
Cutie Pock.
Allies with music, chit-chat, friends and good company will be held at BS8 area. For more information, please email letshaveakiki100@outlook.com. There's lots on tonight. It's
There's
just
loads
crazy.
On tonight, yeah. I mean, yeah, they'd rather people emailed on that particular event.
Yeah.
So the details are on the website, aren't they?
On our website, aren't they?
They should be. I think I posted it up there.
That's
so
cool.
Because of the LGBT business group as well. Proud cool. Bristol's on tonight as well at the Pitch and Piano.
Yeah.
And then there's a open mic session at Old Market at the bookstore. Hey, come on. Hydra Books. So that's yeah. on tonight as well, to be honest. So there's lots on tonight.
And it's Swarm at the weekend.
Yeah. It's going to be a really busy yes. weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you are an event organiser, don't forget you can post it directly on our website. Just go to shoutoutradio.lgbt/events. And there's a button there you can click and you can fill it out and it comes straight into the team who will, you never know, they may read it out on the radio.
Yeah, and you might even want to have a little image in there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll be having one of the organisers in for an interview anyway.
Oh, okay.
Soon for next month. So maybe they can talk about the next Kiki.
Cool. Marvellous.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tara.
Cheers.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. That's Pentatonics and Royal. I had to play that because they were taking the mickey
like
last week, saying, you know, oh, you played nothing but Pentatonics. I haven't played Pentatonics in months, so I thought,
no,
right, sod you, I'm going to play one.
I like them anyway.
just to wind Ivan up, because yeah. he always takes the mickey out of me. So have you ever heard Pentatonics?
I recognise that song,
oh,
but
that's
I
Royal.
Don't. Okay. Different.
That's Royals, but it's actually performed by a different artist. But yeah, they're an a cappella group, and they do a really good job. Yeah,
I don't know them. I'll look into
Pentatonics. They do covers as well, but they've just got these beautiful harmonies. Yeah. And stuff. Yeah. So.
Well, what's really cool is there's no instruments. You see, that's all actually there, which mm-hmm. is really nice. So.
We should say hello.
We should. Yes, yeah, sorry,
Polly.
Yeah, it's because
hello.
We know you. Kind of like, you know, in and out, and kind of becoming, you know, part of the furniture. It's great.
I have a little bit. Yeah.
So Polly from Brigstow Project.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
You had so far to come from work, didn't you? Just upstairs.
Just, yeah, I mean, meters, literally meters.
So.
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, how are you guys?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah. I'm hoping,
nice in the
please
space.
Tell, do we have some good news yet, please?
We have
please?
No news yet, which is frustrating to say, yeah. So we're talking about funding when we say that in terms of good
well,
news,
Well,
right?
we should actually go back a step, because there will be listeners who haven't heard of the Brigstow Project. So let's do what we normally do. Give us a bit of a synopsis of what the Brigstow Project is and...
So we support people living with HIV or people affected by HIV across a few different services. So long-term support, advice, we do peer support, newly diagnosed workshops for someone who is newly diagnosed with HIV. So they're equipped with all the info. That is what we do. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, we've had you on the show a fair few times because one of the big issues that's going on in Bristol at the moment is, of course, funding cuts. And it's even been on the news. We saw the huge great event that the mayor himself actually organised was a massive great rally. And then, of course, since then, I believe he's been up to London to hand in some kind of documents to say, you know, look, we can't sustain this level of cuts.
Yeah.
What has happened since that? Have you heard anything at all? Or?
We haven't heard anything. The official consultation to a load of different types of cuts ended on the 5th of September.
Right.
And originally we were given a window of 2 weeks for them to respond and to tell us what would be happening.
Mm.
It doesn't look like that's going to happen. What's happening at the moment is that council employees are assessing all of these bits of consultation and they will make a proposal to Cabinet who will vote on that. So they will say, we think that the cuts should happen here and here and here, and Cabinet will vote that through. But we're not expecting that to be till November now. So right. it's just push back and back.
Gosh, yeah. So it's quite frustrating to be in this kind of limbo situation. So
is a little.
Yeah, what kind of work can you still do then at this present time?
Well, it's like good and bad news, really, because until they make a decision on this consultation, they have to carry on funding us. And we get 3 months, any change that they make to our contract, they have to give us 3 months notice on.
Yes.
Right. So our services are still running absolutely as normal.
Right, okay.
Regardless of, if we do experience cuts, which we will, but we will still continue some sort of service. If you are living with HIV and you're worried about this, we will exist.
Well, this is why we're talking.
Yeah, and we'll be there.
It is a huge worry in the community, and it's not just Brixton. There's an awful lot of things. But yeah. But the good news is that things are still carrying on as normal at
Absolutely.
The moment.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say anyone that's sort of concerned about it and think, does this affect me or my service, just get in touch with us and have a chat, because we'll be able to tell you. You'll be able to give some clarity on reassurance and things like that.
Exactly,
yeah.
So we hear you've got absolutely massive event.
Yes!
Coming up in not this month, is it?
No.
When is it?
It's not. So we've got a few, but we've got the Red Run in November. Is that the one you're talking about?
I was thinking Red Run.
I didn't want to say Red Rum, obviously.
Run.
Yes.
Run.
Yeah. Not the horse that went missing back in the 80s or whatever. No, Red Run.
The Red Run. Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this. And actually, I went to the launch party of this event on Friday in the Eagle in London.
Right.
So the Red Run is... the largest HIV fundraising event nationally in the UK. It happens on the first Sunday before World AIDS Day every year. And it's a run to raise funds for HIV services. So any HIV service. George House Trust in Manchester is getting involved. Sahir House in Liverpool. We are running for Brigstow. We've already got 15 runners signed up, which I think is brilliant.
Fantastic.
We're putting on a bus from Bristol to London for anyone that is going to fundraise for us.
Oh, so you haven't got to run there in the first place.
No. We're being kind there, yeah.
Are you taking part? Are you running?
I'm running.
You are?
Yeah.
Running. Oh, wow.
Will you... Can I ask on air whether someone will run from Shout Out? I think you should do it. You can ask. Whether that will happen.
You can ask.
It's all right. We're volunteer Ivan. He does our outside broadcasting
stuff.
We'll
put it out there.
Fine.
You never know. Might get Steph.
Oh, now Steph running, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
No, no pressure. I shouldn't have put you in that position.
No, no. But I am running. So there's a way maybe of sponsoring you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course I can. So you can sponsor Brigstow. You can run for Brigstow. We're set up on Just Giving. Okay. So you would search for us and set up your own profile, and it was really super simple. You end up creating a fundraising page that you can share on Twitter and Facebook. I've done it already. A few other runners have done it already. It's easy. And if you've got any problems with it, just get in touch. But if you want to come and run, if that's something that you're thinking, oh, I might be able to get involved in that.
You can still do that.
Do it. It takes 2 months to train for a 5K. So... all to play for.
Fantastic. So there's you and...
She was looking at me when she says that. I am not running.
I was actually looking. 2 months. 2 months.
I can hear my other half at home saying,
I can't run. You see, it's my knees. It's my knees.
You've got a very good out-of-jail
free. I'd be happy to sponsor you as well, so we can get on your website.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot, because I probably should have... pre-warned you I might ask this question before, but it's because it's only just occurred to me. I presume at Brixton you also keep abreast of all the technologies that are coming on, all the treatments that are coming on. Have we had any major advances at all recently? Are things still very much at the... I mean, I know things come in an awful long way, because in the early days, I remember I had friends who were HIV who had to take a huge great cocktail of pills and the like, and I believe we're now down to one, sometimes two... that you take on a regular basis.
Most people are on one pill regimes now, right, which is great.
Every now and again, you see something sporadic come in the paper saying they might have done this, they might have done that. Have we had any advances recently?
I think developments are happening all the time. We as a project don't really latch onto anything until it's solid, because I think that is the way we have to sort of talk to our clients.
Yeah.
They are trialling, which I think would be exciting and beneficial to people that perhaps find it difficult to take medication every day, because it can be a challenge, is an injection, which would only have to happen, I think it's once a month, and they're trialling that in hospitals in Birmingham and somewhere else at the moment.
So in the UK?
In the UK, yeah. Marvellous. And I mean, it would be a big change for somebody.
Well, that would be massive quality of life improvement and all that, you know, rather than having to walk and rattle.
I mean, exactly. I do genuinely hope in my lifetime we see either a cure or a vaccine come around.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see anything saying that that's going to happen yet. But PrEP is one of the probably the most recent advance we've had in helping in that fight. But we haven't actually found a complete way of vaccinating against it permanently, haven't we?
We haven't, not to this point. And again, you hear little snippets of news that someone might have gone a little bit further. It's difficult to know until something's, you know, on the table completely, but we'll definitely tell you.
Yes.
Right. Now, Age, are you still looking for volunteers and other than people to run, obviously?
But runners. We're always looking for volunteers. The newest volunteer opportunity, and the one that I'm most excited about at the moment, is we've started a campaigns group. So this group is focused on kind of getting HIV talked about in public spaces, attending fundraisers with Brigstow t-shirts on, club nights that could do with our presence. So we're always looking for volunteers for that. The group meets the first Thursday of every month, and if it's something that you feel like you would like to get involved in, just get in touch. It's cool and sociable, and there's always a bit of training.
Yeah, I mean, because one of the big issues there is the whole stigmatism around HIV, and we're terrible at just talking about it openly.
Those conversations that it affects everybody as well, that, you know, not just the people who get, you know, the virus, but also people around them and their families.
There's also a lot of misinformation out there, which are relics from the past, aren't there? You know, I mean, it's like we now know for a fact that if you're HIV positive and you're on a regular treatment and your count has come down, well, no, it's not the count, is it? It's your viral load becomes undetectable. You can't pass it on to someone else. But a lot of people don't think that. I have friends who have HIV and they're just like, you know, no, they just, you know, the minute you mention it, they're just like, oh my God, no, stay away. We've got to get over that stigma.
We do. I mean, so few people know that. It's a minority, and it's a minority of people living with HIV that know it too. But hopefully this new campaigns group will start talking about things, as you say, like having those conversations and getting the right info out there.
Perhaps getting into schools or talking to the younger people as well, because I think there's actually a alarming rate of young people who don't use safe sex either, you know, in that kind of way. So
we've got a great piece of work actually coming up with Freedom Youth, LGBT youth group, who are going to make some banners for World AIDS Day for us. So we're having a bit of an info session.
Cool. Yeah. They're a lovely bunch. We've had them on the show. It could be a bit riotous when they're all in here en masse. But they are lovely. So.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a great organisation that does support those kind of campaigns. So good luck with that.
Brigstowproject.org?
Brigstow.org.
Brigstow.org.
Yeah.
And it's Brigstow with a W,
isn't
it? W-E on the end,
I believe based on the original name of Bristol.
It is,
That was called Bridgetown, wasn't it? That's why. Because we had lots of bridges and...
And Brigstow is bridge.
Bristol. Brigstow
means town on the bridge, And it's funny, if you go in the M Shed, you can see the photos of the old... where the Bristol Bridge was with all the houses on the top of it.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's quite cool. Anyway, Polly, it's lovely to catch up with you.
Thank you.
Do keep us in the loop, won't you?
I will.
And we really do hope that it does kind of swing round and that we don't get quite the cuts we want. So.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Exactly. And you will be some of the first I tell when we get any news.
Marvelous. Perfect. Okay. And in the meantime...
And photos. Photos of the run.
Photos of the run.
So many. We'll get
photos. Sponsor you.
Yeah.
So, anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We're back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Rag and Bone Man, and Erskine. And I take it from the way you're singing along, you really like that, do you?
I do. I mean, I do like Rag and Bone Man. Yeah. Truth be told.
Yeah. Hello, guys.
Hello. Hello. Good evening.
How are we both?
Oh, we're great. Oh, fine. Just trying to finish off this application form. Yeah,
Matthew and I have been very diligently filling out a form while you were talking to Polly earlier on.
Oh, an application form.
What was it you just need to know, Matthew?
What's your expected finish time?
Did you not hear, Ivor? We volunteered you.
Well,
no, though,
yeah, but your form's already in, mate.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll be doing it on my behalf. You'll be my knees.
No, I'm just dishing out water bottles.
Well, Matthew will be there with the silver foil.
With a foil blanket.
At the end.
You got it.
I swear you two could run far better than I could.
Well, there's a drink at the end of it.
Can we volunteer? Who else? Yeah,
if we get Stevie with a cocktail at the end.
I would partake in one of those. I'm not sure Matthew would.
Little vol-au-vents or something like that. You know what he's like.
Vol-au-vents. Very Abigail. I haven't heard in ages.
Vol-au-vent.
Anyway, yeah. Right. Okay. Shall we get some news headlines?
Why not? This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 21st of September.
A school in Bristol has won an award in recognition of its gender-neutral uniform policy. Parson Street Primary School was recognised by Educate and Celebrate following its work to promote LGBT equality and diversity. Head teacher Jamie Barry said pupils needed to grow up in a culture of acceptance. As well as introducing the uniform policy, toilets have been made gender-neutral and books celebrating equality have been included in the library. Despite some reservations, the school said that no child had been withdrawn from classes by parents. The school said that they had involved parents as much as possible so that they could understand what was being done and why.
A local action day is being convened by the national gay rights charity Stonewall. On the afternoon of Sunday, the 1st of October, the organisation will host an afternoon of LGBT networking at the Engine Shed at Bristol's Templemead Station. Groups participating will be anti-racist charities SARI and Black Southwest Network, Freedom Youth, Midsummer Norton Pride, the Intersectional Feminist Society and many others. Visit stonewall.org.uk for more details.
Radio Free Europe says that ultra-nationalist and the Orthodox Church in the Ukraine have targeted a new children's book by respected author Larissa Denisenko. Maya and her mums tells the story of different households, one of which is headed by two women. The station notes that in recent years, the pro-Western government of the Ukraine has made strides to support LGBT rights, but that homophobic attitudes remain commonplace in the country.
This week's issue of The Big Issue meets up with Pussy Riot, the feminist punk rock group that was imprisoned for their protests against the Russian government and who have stood up against homophobia in the increasingly authoritarian state. The band explained that things are now considerably worse for minorities than they were under the communist Soviet Union, with people being imprisoned and brutalized for minor offenses perceived to criticize the government.
Separatist feminists have launched a scathing attack on transgender activists in the Morning Star. In an article published on Tuesday, it's alleged that transgender activists physically attacked a group of separatist feminists at Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park. The fault lines between radical feminism and transgender rights have become increasingly bitter in recent years.
The BBC has introduced diversity guidelines for its radio channels, local and national. The corporation runs more than 40 local and UK-wide radio services, and now they have standards in the commissioning and presentation of programmes designed to reflect the diverse nature of modern Britain. RCS Radio Today has more about the BBC's commitments and is linked to via our website.
You may have seen on Made in Bristol TV that local drag queens have been on storytelling duties for youngsters at local libraries. The initiative to bring the splendour of drag to the fairy tale and other popular children's stories has also been profiled by Gay Star News this week, which coincides with drag story time at Brooklyn Library in New York. Parents are delighted with the engagement their children have shown with the larger-than-life characters brought to life by the drag artists. Megan Tui said of her daughter's attendance at story time, "I want her to have the opportunity to just be whoever she's going to be, whether she's a she or a he or anywhere in between, and does anything in the world she wants to."
The Jewish Chronicle notes this week that it's been 40 years exactly since the tragic death of Mark Bolan, the elfin young singer who, along with David Bowie, helped define the glam sound of early 1970s. Bolan was heterosexual, but that didn't stop him from becoming an icon for gender nonconformity across the board, with his wispy persona, makeup and liberal appliances of glitter. It had a profound effect on men and women alike during a period of intense social change. Mark Bolan's band T-Rex dominated the charts between 1970 and 75 and was killed in a car crash in South London. To commemorate the anniversary, the Chronicle has video linked to his greatest hits and an intriguing interview with gay chat show host Russell Harty. Visit our website for a link to it.
For these news stories and more from the LGBT universe, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Ivan Jackson
and Matthew Tosh.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Stay with
Sam Smith and Stay With Me. Now cast your mind back to July this year, because that's when Mary decided she was going to go on a bit of a hot date with the past, accompanied by artist Tom Marshman, Timbalina and Catherine Hoffman, who together hosted one of Bristol Pride's most historic and steamy events.
I'm here with Tom, Catherine and with Timbalina, who've been giving us guided tours of Red Lodge, the most irreverent tour of a stately home I have ever seen. Are you pleased with how it went?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say the most erotic.
Explain to me, Tom, was this your idea in the first place? Where did the idea come from?
I think it came from Timbalina asking us to do something at the National Portrait Gallery a couple of years ago, and we did a sort of scaled down version of that there with some of the portraits there.
So you're basically, you're looking at the paintings, you're imagining that you might be going on a date with the person in the painting.
So I did what most self-respecting gay men would do, and I joined some of the online platforms that are available to us to meet a partner or Mr. Right. This is the very first profile that I started talking to. He describes himself as Fun Guy 1546. And he's not really giving anything away, is he? No, like, he says, I like preaching sermons and Netflix and chill. I said to him, well, can you at least tell me what you're wearing? So he said, I'm wearing a jaunty hat, a huge ruff, a white gown, a moustache, and I've got come-to-bed eyes. Do you fancy some fun? So eventually I did manage to persuade him to send me his profile picture. Would you like to see it?
Yeah.
He said, I'm a bit old. Is that going to be a problem? I said, no, actually, because I'm quite into older men. And he said, praise the Lord. And he said, well, I'm actually not in Bristol at the moment. I'm up north and I'm trying to convert the whole of the northern country to the Church of England. And it's taking a bit longer than I thought. Can I message you when I get back in Bristol? And then he went on to tell me that he was well in favour with Elizabeth I. And that his rise was strong and steady and not rapid.
Where do you start? Do you actually research into the people?
Absolutely.
But I kind of felt like you did, but maybe Tom went a little bit freelance.
The thing is, for me, the portraits in the ground floor, a lot of them, they don't have, can't actually find out much about them.
Yeah.
Like, that he was a religious guy and that he did convert the north of England to the Church of England, but that's pretty much all of it. And then I do talk about John Henley and his converting the Red Lodge from a Tudor lodge into a Georgian house. So there is a bit in there, but yeah, I have taken a lot of liberties with the story. Dolly, don't try and hide it, I know just what you are. Dolly, don't try and hide it, I know just what you are. Ooh, you got me going. Ooh, you're oh so charming. You're nothing but a womanizer, manonizer. Dolly, don't try and hide it, I know just...
I just want to say that from a queer perspective, I think that where this kind of came from was the idea that often when we go to museums, there's no queer context or any queer narrative. So I think for a lot of us growing up queer, going to museums is a very strange thing because you're seeing all these pictures, some of which you might actually find quite erotic. I mean, you know, I love the giant ones of Henry VIII, for example, in the National Portrait Gallery. And so to create a queer tour and to queer a portrait, it's like, well, what does that mean? When you can't sort of objectify it as being queer, but you can kind of say, ooh, I fancy them, wonder what they're like. So it's a bit like, well, yeah, do you know anything about them? Is there anything about their life that I might... And then you sort of open up a Pandora's box of historical narratives, and sometimes there is something there, there's a wealth of information. Sometimes it's speculative, in which case you kind of have to leave it at the door because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to speculate, you don't want to create false histories. But, you know, like Tom said, when you don't really know anything about them, it kind of makes it even more intriguing because you can kind of create your own relationship with them.
And Catherine, you got Queen Elizabeth.
I certainly did.
She's a bit of a gift, isn't she?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much you can do with her. You just take the bits that you want and kind of, yeah, use it. There's so much material. Friday night, the all-you-can-eat banquet. She arrived 1.5 hours late, basically because she was spending so long getting ready. She went straight onto the disco. She was dancing with everyone, flirting with everyone. She was knocking back the mead. She was doing lines of sugar in the toilet. She was like dipping into the punch bowl every 5 seconds. She was like out there.
And it Mystique. Helps that you look like her.
And the fact, yeah, it does help that I do.
There was a synergy there. I can see why you went for that.
Yeah, it was kind of obvious as soon as I saw it. So, yeah, it was a given. It was a given, really. And to actually dress up like her is a lot of fun.
Especially getting through some of those narrow doorways upstairs.
Absolutely. And then, of course, being able to twerk as Queen Elizabeth is like... a dream, isn't it?
You know? Do you know what? I was going to mention that because I don't expect anyone has ever twerked in the Red Lodge previously. Correct me if you think I'm wrong.
You're probably right, yeah.
And in a great thing. You can't assume anything.
You can't assume anything. Yeah, maybe back in the day.
Maybe we should be thinking about the past differently.
Right, exactly. It was a folly of fun after all.
Thank you very much, all of you. Thank you for starting our pride.
Pleasure.
Such pleasure. Hysterical history. And catch up with you later on the week, I'm sure.
Great. For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Take that and let me go.
Yeah.
Did you say you said the show's not selling well? No.
Not particularly. No. But I don't think so. Anyway. Yeah. Do you know what?
Was that like one that was on TV?
Why don't you just put me on the spot? Yes. It was, remember, it's called The Band. Yeah. Their touring show. Yes. Yeah. So it's a jukebox musical, isn't it?
Oh, they are so popular. They'll just be flying high, like the song says.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Go on, take that.
Let me jump out of a seat.
Yeah, me too.
Anyone been to the Red Lodge, by the way, listening to Mary Chat?
Yes.
That is one of the funniest interviews I've ever heard.
But it's an amazing place to go to.
It's
quite an unassuming place. You pass it on Park Row, you've got that little red door, and anyone listening, if you walk past it, you just don't appreciate how big the building is. But you go through it, and it's almost like a TARDIS. And they've got the most exquisite collection of stuffed animals and
paintings
and bits of armour and all sorts in there.
I'll never look at Henry VIII in the same way again.
No, me neither. And as for twerking, well...
Well, I think Elizabeth I is bound to have twerked.
You think you wouldn't know there, would you, in that frock?
I think that she might have actually made it known.
Can you tell if somebody's twerking under a bustle? I don't
know. Do know if Ella was here, she'd be shouting history facts at us.
That's true.
You know.
Yes.
Sorry, Ella, we're not well informed.
We do miss you, Ella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did you know?
Sorry, but I don't think you can twerk in any corset. Sorry.
No, you probably would. You're probably not going to twerk to get out of the corset.
They used to pass out, didn't they, in corsets?
Yeah, well, they used to have ribs removed and things.
14-inch waist.
Lord,
somebody has had a couple of ribs removed for vanity purposes recently.
Cher had it, didn't she?
Well, Cher's had it done. Is that absolutely true?
Well, that's just a rumour.
Are you plucking that from the National Enquirer?
There's no disparaging on Cher, thank you.
I like Cher. I've got most of her album.
Anyway, I'm going to dress up as a pirate and join Tom somewhere doing some historical
Have you been recruited, have you?
I am. I'm recruiting myself.
You're recruiting yourself. So let us know when your interview is, because we'll all wish you good luck.
Yes, all right. Yes, let me know if I get any auditions.
Did we come to the conclusion, by the way, that it was Steffi we were going to make run?
Yes, she's going to run.
Yeah. She's got a long way to come.
From Barbados, that's too bad. That's just too bad.
Well, you can swim as well as run, can't you? You don't have to run if you can't run.
So, Steffi, if you start swimming now, by November for the Red Run...
Yeah, Polly said it was 2 months training, wasn't it?
It's like a triathlon, isn't it? It's a triathlon or duathlon or something like that, no?
It's a half marathon, I think, actually.
Half marathon.
13 miles.
Yeah.
Mr. Tosh, you've done before, have you not?
Yeah, I did the Bristol half marathon a few years ago. I tend to run sort of shorter distances now because you've got to be disciplined. If you're going to train to do a half marathon, it does take a little bit of effort. But that's the whole point. That's part of the challenge.
Nothing compared to the chap we had on the show who ran a marathon every day.
No, I felt completely...
Oh, yes. Lord. Ben, is it Ben?
Oh, my knees. Yes. My knees went...
And then he had to slow down as well. You couldn't just stop. You had to actually slow down. Carry on doing it for a bit afterwards.
So you wouldn't advise anybody to just do a marathon? You can't marathon. If
their name's Steffi, you're absolutely fine, yeah.
No, it's all about pacing yourself. People can do it, but just don't try and increase your speed or your distance too quickly. It's because you'll do yourself damage.
It's got to be at your own pace, isn't it?
Yeah.
Listen to your body. Anyway.
What was it with the hare and the tortoise? Mm. It's a slow and steady pace will win a race.
Yeah, yes. And everyone goes off too fast. And
but you've got to make sure you do some training, definitely, beforehand.
My technique will be to hang around till everybody got round the corner and then order an Uber.
Ivan!
I'm with you on that one, if I'm honest, mate. Yeah.
Cheating yourself.
I know. But it doesn't matter. Nobody minds. If they're raising some money for charity,
just
it's all good.
Raising some money.
No, it is.
That's the main purpose.
We are talking about the Red Race, in case you missed the earlier bit of the show. So Polly talked about it last time she was on as well. I didn't realise she was actually running it, though.
Oh, she's doing it herself. I missed that bit.
So we could just all sponsor her.
We could do. Yeah.
Or we could sponsor Steffi and get Steffi to do it.
Sponsor both.
Well, we could sponsor both, yeah.
Yeah. I like just start filling in the form.
Okay. Can I amend that form, please?
Just amend the name.
We'll just take your name off, shall we, put Steffi's on?
Steffi's on.
That's a good idea.
It's easy. Yeah. She's not here. She can't complain.
She
can WhatsApp me, or she likes saying I'm not doing it, but the form's gone. It'd be too late, won't it?
That's it. Sorry.
That's the way I'm looking at it.
Oh, there it goes.
It's absolutely fine, you know.
That was quick.
Can you imagine the embarrassment of having to say, no, I'm actually not doing it? You can't do that once the form's in, can you?
Well, that would bring shame upon your friends and family.
It's easy in future. Just don't go on holiday and leave us, you know.
But we shouldn't bully in absentia, though, should we, really? We should only bully Steffi when she's actually in the studio.
You know what she's like. She'll get her own mat when she's back, I'm sure.
She'll put us all in for something. Don't give her ideas.
Anyway, that is it for us. As always, if you want to get in touch, unless your name's Steph, we'd love to hear from you.
And how you can do this is available in one place. That's shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, are we going to be talking to the RAF, which should be good fun. So
the
catch
RAF.
Up with them from the Diversity Awards. So. But for myself and the team, everyone say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.